This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Rahm Emanuel's name is back on the ballot, this time for good. The Illinois Supreme Court on Thursday unanimously overturned an appellate court ruling that Mr. Emanuel did not meet Chicago's residency requirements to run for mayor because he'd lived in Washington, D.C. while serving as President Obama's chief of staff and hadn't returned to reside in Chicago long enough before he started to run. Got that? What an eventful week. It began with the ruling that knocked Mr. Emanuel off the ballot, the decision that put him back on, and a debate of the mayoral candidates. Carol Marine, political columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times and political editor for NBC5 News, has been covering the campaign. She joins us now from member station WBEZ. Woo! Thanks for being with us, Carol.
My pleasure, Scott.
What was the basis of the Supreme Court ruling as you read it?
The Supreme Court ruling, in uncharacteristically, I think, strong language, said that the appellate court didn't get it right, that it was trying to reverse 150 years of Illinois history in which, once you've established a residency, if you go away for a bit to Congress, to be a judge, to your summer home in Florida, as long as you don't intend to abandon your home and your residency, you're a resident.
Now, Mr. Emanuel won the court battle. Any political cost, though, for being portrayed as some kind of out-of-towner?
Quite the contrary, Scott. You know, Rahm Emanuel, whom you know and many of us in Chicago and the nation know, has some pretty hard and brittle edges. This has transformed him into a victim, a sympathetic character. It is the unintended consequence of the people who wanted to dump him from the ballot that Emanuel got tons of free media in addition to the millions he can spend on paid media, and all of it cast him as the guy who people were trying to do something bad to.
What about revelations in some of the financial reports that came out a few days before this that Mr. Emanuel had received hundreds of thousands of dollars from some very famous people, including Steve Jobs, Steven Spielberg, who, however eminent and respected, are out-of-towners?
They're all out of, or not all, but many of them are out-of-towners. Many of them have a Hollywood connection, certainly a vast money connection. But it didn't seem to make a strenuous dent in Mr. Emanuel's image either. It showed that he had the juice to do what he needed to do. There are certainly critics who believe that money always controls these elections and that that's the basic unfairness of it all. And we should point out that Mr. Emanuel could only capture that money until December 31st. Mm-hmm. Then the rules here in Illinois changed for what you can raise in campaign financing. That $100,000 would have been only $5,000 a day after December 31st. So he's following the rules, but those rules are interesting things.
I guess it had been assumed that there was going to be a second round. What's your feeling, your judgment, Carol? Is it approaching now, just a little less than a month before this first round, that it's possible that one of the candidates will get 50% or more?
It's absolutely possible. As you know, this is a nonpartisan municipal election, though all the front runners are essentially Democrats. Gary Chico, who one might argue, along with Carol Mosley Brond, are next in the pack. Miguel Del Valle, who is the city clerk, he has very little money, but a lot of community juice. If one gets 50% plus one, they're the next mayor of the city of Chicago. In the beginning, when there were many more candidates, that didn't look possible. But you can do the math right now and say that is within the reach of possibility. Emanuel's polling at about 44%. His next closest contender is at about 22%. And so in the next 3.5 weeks, it's possible that that could be a one-winner-take-all election.
Political columnist and commentator Carol Marine, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Take care, Scott.